This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and time for a checkup. And good to see Dr. Cindy Gibson back in studio, Director of AltaPoint's Crisis and Justice Involved Services. Thanks for coming back.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, I know from our time talking together, kind of, well, from a layman's term, what you do, but explain, like, you know, it's Crisis and Justice Involved Services. Like, somebody asks you in the elevator, says, Dr. Gibson, what do you do?
That's a complicated question.
Yeah.
So I operate our 24-hour behavioral health crisis center, which is at 2401 Gordon Smith Drive in Midtown. And the crisis center is a voluntary option for people who need, like, a mental health tune-up.
Okay.
And so we have temporary observation there, extended observation, withdrawal management. And so that's one half of the building. And then the other half is like our justice involved services. And so we work with law enforcement on crisis intervention team training, CIT training. That's, you know, a buzzword now.
Yes.
And the co-response, where we go out with law enforcement. And
that's what's been so cool. Can you tell people, I mean, and I know we'll get back to it, but like what y'all do with that? Like, you show up, give us like a scenario.
Yes. Yeah, so at everyday scenario, they get called out on a call where the person's definitely got some mental health issues going on, and they may call us on an iPad, or they may call us on the iPad and then we go out after, or we may go out together. So it just kind of depends on where we are and the nature of circumstances.
So, I mean, that officer knows they're going to, and they said, okay, I'm going to need help on this one.
Yeah. And so it really helps with the de-escalation process. You've got a uniformed officer who is like, hey, let me get you a clinician right now. And that changes the dynamic of that call. You know, calls with folks with mental health issues.
The iPad thing you talk about, is that handed over to the person having the mental health issue? And then you're communicating with that person
directly. Yeah. It's basically like FaceTime. And so we're able to talk to them about what their treatment options are, find out what's going on with them, and then get them to where they need to be right then and there.
Yeah. And we've talked about that a bunch, that law enforcement, number one, is not always trained to do this, obviously at y'all's level, you know, not trained to do it. And it also is it takes a lot of time for law enforcement to do this.
Yeah, they are very time-consuming calls for law enforcement because they're not trained clinicians. They don't de-escalate that kind of crisis on a daily basis. And, you know, they don't know what the treatment options are, just like at the drop of the hat, whereas a clinician does.
And, right.
And a lot of times when we see that face on the iPad, it's somebody we already know. And we're like, hey, why don't you just come on into the crisis center and let's get you a hot meal and get you fixed up.
It's a great thing. And looking at like some superlatives here for what y'all are doing. So this behavioral health crisis center saved our community $81 million from May of 21 through August of 25.
That's correct.
And that comes from what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. So that's like cost savings in terms of the involuntary commitment process, where a family member has to file a petition, where the sheriff's department has to pick somebody up, take them to court. Then they're sent to East Point for at least 7 days, and law enforcement having to go out on a call, EMS having to go out on a call. Mm-hmm. The unnecessary cost of an emergency department visit for a psych reason. You know, emergency departments aren't designed to handle psychiatric patients. You go in there having a heart attack, you want care for your heart attack right
Correct.
Now.
Yes.
If the nurses have six psych patients piled up in chairs waiting, then are you going to get the best care?
Yeah, you know, and you talked about the beginning, you had kind of the split of what y'all do with the voluntary. That is somebody in the same way that I'm not feeling really good today. You could go, you know, the way you could go into a urgent care center for, you know, something. They're like,
exactly.
I'm not going to the ER, but I'm not feeling very good. It can do that for mental health.
That's exactly what it is. Kind of an urgent care for mental health, and that and we keep it voluntary because we want people to want to get that
sure.
help. And if you go to an acute care psychiatric hospital, your average length of stay is about 7 days on a voluntary stay. With us, it's about 23 hours.
Okay.
And we're getting folks the medication they need from the moment they come in and getting the resources they need to go back into the community and take care of themselves with some help from us, with some help from family. We get everybody on board and whatever resources they need so that they'll want to come back
mm-hmm.
instead of getting to the point that they have to be involuntarily committed, because that's a strain on the family, that's a strain on resources, that's a strain and a trauma for the patient.
Well, so, and in the process, somebody walks in, a peer specialist, that person walks in, who do they see first? How does that work?
So we employ a lot of folks who have lived experience, people who are either in substance use recovery, have a mental health issue, have a domestic violence history, actually have history of being incarcerated. And those individuals can talk to somebody who's coming in on the same level playing
field. They speak the language.
Yeah. It's not clinician to patient. There's no hierarchy. It's just, hey, I've been where you've been. I know what it's like. You made a good choice today to come and get some help.
You mentioned like in substance. What about like in a detox? Can people come there for that too?
Yeah, we have a 6-bed withdrawal management unit, and we do opiate withdrawal and alcohol withdrawal. And so we get people through it as long as it takes. Usually the average withdrawal management time is about 5 to 7 days.
Okay, so I mean, somebody who's going through that, right now, they listen to us right now. They're going through that. They can show up and walk in and say, hey, I need this. And it starts right then.
It starts right then. Yep.
Not making appointments and we're going to do it next week. And I got you on the schedule for December. No, it's.
Yeah, it's right now. As long as you're below your blood alcohol isn't so high that you can't really consent.
Right.
Then come on, make the choice to get help today.
Okay. Tell people, I know you did beginning, but where they find you. I mean, we can go online, tell them how to do it, but like the physical location is where?
The physical location is at 2401 Gordon Smith Drive off of Stanton Road.
Okay.
And 24/7, we're always there. And just walk up or call our access to care at 450-2211, and we'll get you taken care of.
As always, Dr. Gibson, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.